brilliance is understated, tourism leadership reggae style. The slow-paced, steady rhythm of reggae beats, interspersed with melodic harmonies, resonates with the very rhythms of the heart, offering a natural sense of calm. This was the presentation by the Honorable Minister of Tourism for Jamaica today at the Gordon House, Kingston, on the state of the industry in a country that developed reggae, fun by the pool, but understanding and relying on the business aspect of travel and tourism. Mr. Bartlett was first appointed Minister of Tourism in 2007, serving until December 2011. Prior to this, he already had a solid record of accomplishment as an outstanding legislator in central government in both chambers of parliament. He served as Minister of State for Information, Broadcasting and Culture in the office of the Prime Minister and Minister of Youth, Sports and Community Development from 1980 to 1989. Later, he served as Senator and Opposition Spokesman on various portfolios, including tourism, from 1989 to 2007. Jamaica's Sectoral Debate Opening Presentation 2024 by the Honorable Minister of Tourism, Edmund Bartlett. Iturbonews.com. Madam Speaker, distinguished members of Parliament, esteemed guests in the gallery, and fellow Jamaicans, it is with great honor that I address you for the 35th time in this venerable house. I stand before you to share the remarkable progress we've achieved in the tourism sector over the past year. Through innovative strategies, we have ensured that every Jamaican can rightfully take pride in and directly benefit from the prosperity of our flourishing industry. As public servants, our collective goal is to uplift our people and enhance our nation. I am proud to lead a ministry that is pivotal in advancing these efforts under this government's stewardship. I express my gratitude to our most honorable Prime Minister, Andrew Holness, whose unwavering commitment has set the stage for advancing our industry amidst the evolving global landscape. As I continue serving as Minister of Tourism, I thank all who have collaborated with my ministry to overcome challenges and seize opportunities within the tourism sector. I appreciate the dedication of stakeholders across the industry and private sector entities whose commitment has contributed to the growth of our beloved country. I also acknowledge the invaluable contributions of the dedicated team within the ministry, as well as public body chairpersons, board members, and executive directors, whose efforts have been instrumental in achieving our goals. To my constituents in East Central St. James, I am grateful for your unwavering support. I remain committed to advancing the interests of our constituency. The bipartisan support from all sides of this House is heartening as we work towards a compassionate economy that benefits all Jamaicans. I commend Senator Janice Allen, the opposition spokesperson on tourism, for her diligent engagement. I am privileged to serve as Leader of Government Business and Minister of Tourism, and I thank Prime Minister Holness for his confidence in appointing me to these positions. I also use this opportunity to commend Madam Speaker, the new Clerk of the House, and our beloved former Clerk, and of course, the staff of this House for their invaluable contributions to our parliamentary affairs. On a personal note, I am grateful for the support of my family, especially my wife, Carmen, whose encouragement empowers me to serve with dedication. As we celebrate 50 years of marriage this year, I am thankful for her unwavering presence and support. Finally, I draw strength from the divine blessings bestowed upon me by the Almighty as I remain dedicated to serving the people of our beloved nation. I earnestly pray for His ongoing guidance in all my endeavors to enhance our tourism offerings and foster a top-tier constituency, ultimately benefiting the people of our cherished country, Jamaica, the land we love. Introduction. Madam Speaker, today's address is a testament to our unwavering commitment to the welfare of all individuals who contribute tirelessly to our tourism industry. Your dedication not only elevates our nation to global eminence but also solidifies Jamaica's respected position as the crown jewel of the Caribbean. The Ministry of Tourism and its associated public bodies are dedicated to cultivating a world-class destination that advances our people and sets new benchmarks for excellence in our industry. Our leadership in innovation within the tourism sector continues to yield record-breaking achievements year after year. As we step into 2024, we embrace the ethos of Even More in 24, recognizing the transformative power of Jamaica's tourism industry. The interconnected web of the tourism value chain is not just a beacon of hope but a powerful force that fosters positive change and uplifts the lives of the Jamaican people and local businesses. in our pursuit of a more resilient, inclusive, and equitable tourism industry, we have adopted a comprehensive approach to enhancing the welfare of our workers. This includes strengthening tourism linkages, fostering training development and innovation, implementing the Tourism Workers' Pension Scheme, and addressing social housing needs. These initiatives clearly demonstrate our commitment to the well-being of our workers. Madam Speaker, our initiatives reflect the steadfast dedication of our government to the welfare of our people and the advancement of their prosperity. Together, we are charting a course toward lasting progress and prosperity, with the well-being of our citizens taking precedence in all our efforts. Madam Speaker, tourism is the backbone of the Jamaican economy, and it is our responsibility to ensure its long-term economic viability and sustainability. We must prioritize policies and programs that support Jamaicans, who are the backbone of this industry. The theme for today's presentation, Tourism Gives Even More for 2024, is more than just a catchy slogan. It is a commitment by the Ministry of Tourism and its public bodies to enhance the lives of all Jamaicans through people-centric initiatives. Therefore, we must strive to ensure that every Jamaican feels the positive impact of tourism's success, not just a select few. This is not a difficult task, given the wide-ranging impact of tourism. It provides employment opportunities for countless families. Think about it. Tourists need a place to stay, and that means jobs at hotels, from housekeepers to chefs. They want to explore, which translates to opportunities for taxi drivers, tour guides, and craft vendors. Also, our farmers benefit by supplying fresh produce to resorts and restaurants. Madam Speaker, we are building on a strong foundation and have already implemented programs that train our youth for tourism jobs, initiatives that support small businesses, policies that encourage locally sourced goods, and a focus on sustainable practices that protect our environment, the very thing that attracts visitors to our country. However, there is still much work to be done, and we will continue to strive to spread the wealth created by tourism. When tourism dollars reach local businesses and residents, it creates a more equitable economy, leading to a strong Jamaica where opportunities are accessible to everyone. State of the tourism industry in Jamaica. Global perspective. Madam Speaker, Jamaica's tourism industry has enjoyed a record-breaking year, surpassing all industry experts' expectations. However, before delving into our achievements and plans for the upcoming financial year, let me briefly give an overview of the global state of affairs, which we are paying very careful attention to. Madam Speaker, in 2024, the global economy is at best dynamic and complex, with various challenges and opportunities. In that vein, we have been paying keen attention to our main markets for visitors, the bulk of which are from the United States of America, Canada, the United Kingdom, and to a lesser extent the European Union, EU. United States of America, USA. Madam Speaker, the USA continues to experience steady economic growth, supported by robust consumer spending, a resilient labor market, and ongoing investments in technology and infrastructure. However, inflationary pressures are a concern driven by factors such as supply chain disruptions, higher energy prices, and wage increases. Geopolitically, too, Madam Speaker, tensions with major trading partners like China and Russia, as well as ongoing conflicts in regions like the Middle East and Ukraine, pose risks to economic stability. As such, Madam Speaker, travel demand is likely to experience some moderation due to inflationary pressures, as higher prices for goods and services could reduce discretionary spending on travel and tourism. Canada. Madam Speaker, Canada's economy is experiencing moderate growth, buoyed by a rebound in commodity prices, strong consumer confidence, and government stimulus measures. Similar to the United States, inflationary pressures are a concern. Geopolitical issues are also at play here. As such, travel demand may face some headwinds from inflation and geopolitical uncertainties, particularly affecting international travel. United Kingdom, UK. Madam Speaker, the UK, our third largest market for visitors, is still navigating the post-Brexit landscape, with ongoing challenges related to trade disruptions, regulatory changes, and investment uncertainty. Inflationary pressures are present, influenced by factors such as supply chain disruptions, labor shortages, and currency fluctuations. Geopolitically, uncertainties surrounding future trade agreements and diplomatic relations with the EU and other global partners are factors impacting economic outlook. As indicated earlier, Madam Speaker indicated that travel demand may be tempered by inflation and geopolitical uncertainties, as consumers may exercise caution in discretionary spending on travel. European Union, EU. Finally, Madam Speaker, the EU is undergoing a process of uneven economic recovery from the COVID-19 pandemic, with varying growth trajectories across member states. Inflationary pressures are present, driven by factors such as supply chain disruptions, energy prices, and fiscal stimulus measures. Similarly, geopolitical challenges, including tensions with Russia, migration issues, and Brexit implications, add complexity to their economic environment. As such, Madam Speaker, travel demand within the EU and from external markets may face some moderation due to inflation and geopolitical uncertainties, impacting both leisure and business travel. Madam Speaker, overall, while the global economy is showing resilience in the face of challenges, inflation and geopolitical issues pose risks to economic stability and may influence travel demand by affecting consumer confidence and spending patterns. Local Jamaica perspective. Nonetheless, Madam Speaker, whilst we are cognizant of headwinds, allow me to provide this esteemed House with an update on Jamaica's exceptional performance during the past financial year. The tourism industry has maintained a remarkable post-COVID-19 pandemic rebound in 2023, solidifying Jamaica's position as one of the world's fastest recovering countries and the Caribbean's fastest growing tourist destination. Over 10 consecutive quarters since the onset of the pandemic, tourism has been the driving force behind national economic growth. Jamaica's pioneering role in various aspects of the tourism industry has significantly influenced the global perception of our destination, establishing it as the top choice for visitors worldwide. I am thrilled to announce that tourism is experiencing an unprecedented surge, surpassing all projections outlined in the previous fiscal year. Madam Speaker, our key markets demonstrated strong performances. The U.S. maintained a majority stake in the overall market with a 74% share of total arrivals, outperforming 2022 by 16 percentage points, and our second largest market, Canada, experienced remarkable growth of 38.6%, accounting for 12.9% of the market. Jamaica's tourism earnings. Madam Speaker, for the just concluded fiscal year, 2023-24, we anticipate significant growth in Jamaica's tourism sector. Gross earnings are projected to reach $4.38 billion U.S. dollars, marking a notable 9.6% increase compared to fiscal year, FY, 2022-23. Stopover arrivals are estimated at 2.96 million, reflecting a 9.4% increase. Cruise arrivals are expected to reach 1.34 million, up by 9% from the previous period in 2022-23. Madam Speaker, in 2023, Jamaica's principal airports in Kingston and Montego Bay also saw impressive growth, collectively generating revenue of $200.28 million, or 30 billion Jamaican dollars. This revenue surge coincided with a record-breaking 6.96 million passengers traversing these facilities. Most of these earnings stemmed from MBJ Airports Limited, the operator of Sangster International Airport, SIA. Madam Speaker, the Ministry of Tourism and its public bodies continue to put people first as we journey towards increased opportunities for more Jamaicans in and outside the direct sphere of our tourism sector. Later on in this presentation, we will share further details, but as it stands now, I can quickly say, Madam Speaker, that we continue to link micro and small farmers directly with buyers within the tourism industry to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars, with many farmers across Jamaica supplying, directly and indirectly, our tourism industry with tons of fruits, vegetables, and meat. We continue to upskill and certify thousands of tourism workers and high school students through free programs offered by our Jamaica Center for Tourism Innovation, JCTI, and its local and international partners. We continue our provision of a secure retirement income for our tourism workers through our groundbreaking Tourism Workers Pension Scheme, TWPS. we continue to provide tourism workers with adequate and affordable housing, including a new program announced by Prime Minister Holness to assist those in very serious need of shelter and, of course, through partnerships being forged with hotel investors to build more than 3,000 units for hotel workers. We continue to facilitate new and startup enterprises, led by young and bright minds, within the tourism sector through the Tourism Innovation Incubator. We continue to facilitate valuable marketing opportunities for small and medium tourism enterprises, SMTEs, through our annual Tourism Linkages Network, TLN, events, such as Christmas in July and Speed Networking, which provide a platform for hundreds of local producers and entrepreneurs to engage with the hospitality sector in corporate Jamaica. We continue to give marketing, technical, and logistical support to events that spread the benefits of tourism far and wide, including Rebel Salute, Reggae Sumfest, Jamaica Rum Festival, Mocha Fest, Dream Weekend, and Carnival in Jamaica, which, Madam Speaker, brought thousands of visitors and a bonanza of raw cash and opportunities for persons at the micro and small enterprise levels of our economy to include hairdressers, costume makers, taxi men and women, pan chicken men, vendors, Airbnb owners, and many more. We continue in our efforts to upgrade beaches islandwide through the National Beach Development Program, which ensures access of both locals and visitors to quality recreational spaces. We, of course, look forward to beautiful public beach developments coming to St. Anne, Westmoreland, and other parishes. We continue, Madam Speaker, through the Spruce Up Jamaica Pond a Corner program, to fund small but focused community development projects across each and every constituency, across every nook and cranny. Madam Speaker, it is the revenues and benefits of tourism that help greatly in ensuring that the government can continue to improve our schools, clinics, hospitals, roads, police force, fire brigade, and all the attendant services that we have grown to take for granted. Madam Speaker, it is tourism that continues to, directly and indirectly, contribute to well over 350,000 Jamaicans being employed in our hotels, villas, attractions, restaurants, banks and other financial institutions, ground transportation, construction, airports, cruise ports, customs, immigration, landscaping, street cleaning, quarries, trucking, retail, manufacturing, agriculture, agro-processing, fisheries, entertainment, the marine industry, insurance, information technology, and the list goes on. As I have always said, Madam Speaker, when tourism wins, we all win. It means more jobs for Jamaicans, more opportunities for local entrepreneurs, an increase in the consumption of local goods and services, and a greater retention of the tourism dollar. Airlift to Jamaica. Now, Madam Speaker, none of this is possible without ensuring that we have seamless avenues through which tourists can get to Jamaica. Madam Speaker, in that vein, we have made a lot of progress in enhancing our airlift capacity and expanding our cruise industry in the last financial year. Madam Speaker, in 2023, our destination recorded a remarkable 15.4% increase in capacity compared to the previous year, totaling 4,105,313 seats. This increase in airlift capacity resulted in an average load factor of 83.5%, accommodating 3.4 million passengers. Among the many achievements on this front, we collaborated with Copa Airlines to facilitate additional flights from Panama to Montego Bay and Kingston. By utilizing larger aircraft, we aim to meet the growing demand from the Latin American market. Intercaribbean is now offering 3 flights per week between Kingston and Barbados. A significant milestone for our largest market, the United States, was the introduction of a new non-stop service from Denver, Colorado, by United Airlines. This marked the first non-stop service from the U.S. Rockies to Jamaica in a while, catering not only to passengers from Denver but also providing connections from cities, states and provinces such as San Francisco, Seattle, Oregon, Idaho, Utah, Montana, British Columbia and Alberta. We are also pleased with new non-stop flights between Kansas City, Missouri and Montego Bay by Southwest. The return of non-stop flights between New York's JFK and Kingston, Jamaica by Delta Airlines. And of course, Madam Speaker, the new American Eagle non-stop flights between Miami and the Ian Fleming International Airport in St. Mary, effectively serving Ocho Rios, St. Anne, and Portland. Madam Speaker, I am pleased to announce in this honorable House that American Airlines is intent on increasing the daily, non-stop flights between Miami and St. Mary, signaling the strong demand and the long-term viability of the new route. As for the Canadian market, we inaugurated two Canadian Airlines with new flights to Kingston and Montego Bay, non-stop flights between Toronto, Canada and Montego Bay by Canadian Airline Jetlines began on December 9th, non-stop flights between Toronto, Canada and Kingston by Canadian Airline Flair began on December 16th. Beyond that, Madam Speaker, with at least 65 Canadian flights coming in per week into Jamaica, we are seeing a remarkable surge in Canadian tourists with approximately 375,000 visiting last year alone, a 39% increase over 2022. Already for 2024, Jamaica is seeing an 11% increase over last year in airline seats from Canada, bringing us to 222,000, which includes new flights out of the cities of Toronto, Montreal, and Halifax. For the UK market, we welcome Norse, a new low-cost carrier from London Gatwick, UK, further diversifying our international flight options. Additionally, Virgin Atlantic has added non-stop flights between London Heathrow and Montego Bay, representing another boost for our tourism product. Notably, Madam Speaker, major European tour operator, TUI, ranked Jamaica as the best-performing long-haul destination for the group, which operates up to 9 flights per week between the UK cities of London, Manchester and Birmingham and Montego Bay. Just recently too, Madam Speaker, Jamaica was also ranked the most searched destination in the Caribbean and third in the world by Dial-A-Flight, one of the largest tour operators in the UK. For the winter period from January to April 2024, we anticipate welcoming 1,294,722 passengers from 1,523,202 seats across regions, with a projected load factor equaling that of 2019 at 85%. Notably, all regions reported a capacity increase from our largest source market, the U.S. The U.S. remains the key market driver for our destination, with new and emerging markets positioned to contribute to target arrivals and revenues. Madam Speaker, our participation in the recently concluded Routes America's Aviation Trade Show in Bogota, Colombia, yielded positive results. We engaged in fruitful discussions with leading airlines in Latin America and the Caribbean. We are currently in active discussions with several Latin American airlines, all expressing strong interest in offering service to our destination. Jamaica's focus on new tourism markets. Madam Speaker, market diversification stands as a cornerstone for the sustainable growth of our vibrant tourism industry. In the current fiscal year, we strategically allocate time and resources to cultivate new markets, particularly in Latin America, India, and emerging demographics in the US and Canada. These show promising potential for both leisure and business travel to Jamaica. I am delighted to report that arrivals from Latin America experienced a remarkable 40% increase, with Jamaica welcoming approximately 36,000 visitors in 2023. This region remains our most significant new growth market opportunity. Our partnership with Copa Airlines, a key player in this market, has expanded significantly, with daily flights from Panama to both Kingston and Montego Bay. These routes offer convenient connections to destinations such as Colombia, Argentina, Brazil, Peru, Costa Rica, and Mexico, strengthening our accessibility and appeal to Latin American travelers. Additionally, our active engagement in Routes Americas in March further solidified our presence in the region, with carriers such as GOL Airlines from Brazil, LATAM Airlines from Peru, Avianca from Colombia, Sky Airline from Chile, and Viva Aerobus from Mexico expressing keen interest in providing services to Jamaica. These discussions align with the substantial demand for Jamaica, which saw over 16.6 million searches in 2023. Recognizing India as a high-potential tourism market, we have appointed Track Representations, India, as our local market representative. Their role will involve engaging with local travel partners and media, fostering trade and consumer awareness of the Jamaican brand and developing suitable air connectivity options to the island. This strategic partnership seeks to tap into India's burgeoning travel market and position Jamaica as a desirable destination for Indian travelers. Cruise business in Jamaica. Madam Speaker, shifting focus to the cruise industry, despite the ongoing recovery from the COVID-19 pandemic, many cruise lines remain heavily indebted and focus on reducing operating costs, including fuel expenses. In addition, Madam Speaker, new greenhouse gas emission standards will come into effect in 2025, and cruise lines are investing in ports closer to home to avoid penalties. Our team within the Ministry of Tourism and its public bodies, including Jamaica Vacations, JAMVAC, TPDCO and TEF, has been working closely with the Port Authority of Jamaica, PAJ, to monitor the changes in the itineraries of our key partners and turn challenges into opportunities to minimize negative effects. With this in mind, Madam Speaker, I recently participated in Sea Trade Cruise Global 2024 in Miami, Florida, the world's largest B2B cruise event. I am pleased to report that the event yielded several productive, high-level stakeholder engagements, facilitated by JAMVAC and the PAJ, with some very positive outcomes. It was, in fact, the largest trade show since the COVID-19 pandemic and arguably the largest ever. The annual event drew more than 11,000 attendees and over 600 exhibitors from more than 120 countries. Jamaica's presence was very strong, and we had excellent discussions with our cruise partners, yielding positive results with several leading cruise lines. Madam Speaker, I am pleased to inform you that following our recent engagements with cruise partners, Royal Caribbean Cruise Line, RCCL, has reaffirmed its commitment to Jamaica and has set a target of maintaining their tally of 400,000 visitors to Falmouth every year. Additionally, Disney Cruise Lines expressed their satisfaction with their current operations in Falmouth and have expressed their willingness to consider Port Royal as a future destination, pending the requisite logistical arrangements. Furthermore, Madam Speaker, our discussions with MSC Cruises have been very positive, and they have expressed a keen interest in forging a larger strategic partnership with Jamaica and investing in local infrastructure. I am confident that these developments will contribute to the continued growth of our tourism sector. I am also pleased to say that private discussions are advanced as it relates to bringing luxury yacht calls to Jamaica by two very renowned and globally respected high-end operators in the industry. Discussions are currently at a sensitive stage. However, I will share more details on this in due course, Madam Speaker. Our cruise partners also acknowledged the importance of the island's ability to bunker vessels. Bunkering refers to the process of supplying fuel to ships, and Jamaica is the only Caribbean destination with the capacity to bunker vessels with liquefied natural gas. Bunkering is available to vessels berthed at any of our 5 terminals. Madam Speaker, Jamaica is also able to serve as a home porting destination, and we are exploring opportunities to expand the supply of goods and services to the vessels that visit our ports. Madam Speaker, I am happy to report that cruises have once again taken a top line on the leisure traveler's agenda, and Jamaica is a well-sought-after destination on cruise schedules. Furthermore, with the average age of cruisers now at 46 instead of 64 years, there has been a heightened interest in community and gastronomy activities, with 60% of cruisers being either new cruisers or first-time visitors to Jamaica. Madam Speaker, cruise shipping recorded 1.26 million arrivals in 2023, 48.3% above 2022 figures. Cruises have made a reasonably healthy comeback, albeit not a total return to 2019 figures. Nevertheless, Madam Speaker, I am pleased to say that the expectation is that the 2024-25 vessel arrivals and passenger count will equal or exceed those in the 2023-24 fiscal year despite the challenges in the sector. Members will recall that due to a freak weather event in February, the main berth in Ocho Rios was significantly damaged, rendering the facility inoperable. The PAJ is exploring options to repair the berth or build a new one that could accommodate 2 large vessels. In the meantime, vessels originally scheduled to dock at the main terminal have been rescheduled to Reynolds Pier. Fortunately, Madam Speaker, investments were made to improve cruise handling capabilities at Reynolds Pier, allowing Ocho Rios to retain a significant portion of its cruise calls and passengers. Madam Speaker, all the other vessels not booked into the Reynolds Pier have been rebooked to berths in Falmouth and Montego Bay. Although we have temporarily lost the main berth in Ocho Rios, we have five other berths on the north coast capable of accommodating most of the post-Panamax vessels currently in service in the Caribbean. Madam Speaker, I am also pleased to inform this Honorable House that this June Jamaica will host the Florida Caribbean Cruise Association's 2024 Platinum, PAMIC, Member Cruise Summit, which is on track to attract the highest number of participants ever from the Caribbean and Mexico. This will create an opportunity to host the senior executives of all the major cruise lines, their itinerary planners, and destination executives, to whom we will be able to showcase the developments at our five cruise terminals and the new features of our world-class attractions. Visitors spend in Jamaica. Madam Speaker, I am pleased to highlight the significant recovery in visitor spending, with the average daily spend reaching $190, marking an impressive 11.8% increase compared to 2019, $170. While overall and average daily revenue has also seen growth over time, it's noteworthy that the length of stay has dipped just below that of 2019, standing at 7.7 days. However, promising signs indicate that visitors are dispersing their spending across a more comprehensive array of areas within our destination, as reported by the attractions subsector through our partnership associations. Investments. Turning to investor confidence, Madam Speaker, I am delighted to inform this esteemed House that confidence in Jamaica's dynamic tourism industry remains steadfast, laying a solid foundation for remarkable growth in the years ahead. With the imminent completion of 2,000 new rooms in 2024 alone, we are making significant strides towards our ambitious target of adding 20,000 rooms within the next 10 to 15 years. In the coming weeks, we eagerly anticipate unveiling the first 1,000 rooms of the magnificent Princess Grand Jamaica in Hanover, and in just 2 weeks the opening of the beautiful 753-room Riu Palace Aquarelle in Trelawney, as well as the charming 450-room Unico Hotel in Montego Bay next summer, all resulting, Madam Speaker, in the addition of nearly 2,500 new direct jobs and thousands more Jamaicans benefiting indirectly. These developments signify expansion and demonstrate our commitment to providing world-class hospitality experiences to visitors from around the world. We also await construction start dates or development plans for thousands more resort rooms spread across Viva Wyndham, just north of Negril, just under 1,000 rooms. Grand Palladium, Lucia, Hanover, approximately 1,000 rooms. Princess Resorts, an additional 1,000 rooms to complement the 1,000 rooms that are now near completion. Hard Rock, 1,100 rooms. A major new resort for Montego Bay, 1,285 rooms. Secrets Montego Bay expansion, just over 100 new suites. Harmony Cove, Trelawney. Planet Hollywood, Trelawney. H10 Trelawney expansion. Bahia Principe, a multifaceted expansion project to include villas, condos, hotel rooms, a PGA-certified golf course, a fishing village, and housing for tourism workers, using a broadly environmentally sustainable development approach. Secrets, St. Anne, 700 rooms. Exclusive high-end luxury development in Westmoreland. In addition to creating in excess of 30,000 new and part-time jobs, these developments promise to substantially benefit various sectors, including manufacturing, agriculture, small businesses, and the wider community, painting a bright economic future for Jamaica. Jamaica is poised to welcome a wave of robust investments from diverse sources, including local Jamaican businesses and international entities from Canada, the United States, Thailand, the Middle East, Mexico, and Europe. Notably, Madam Speaker, another booming arena in the tourism industry is short-term vacation rental. Data from Airbnb indicates that guest check-ins for January to December 2023 increased by 28% over 2022, generating an estimated $31.8 billion Jamaican dollars in gross earnings from 1.3 million guest nights. Moreover, the short-term vacation rental subsector continues to gain market share, with approximately 36% of visitors opting for this accommodation category. We anticipate that developments in the local construction sector will contribute additional stock to this subsector. Madam Speaker, while we seek to add more rooms for our visitors, the industry workers have not been forgotten in these plans. The Ministry of Tourism has welcomed the pledge by four major international hotel investors, including RCD Hotels, Bahia Principe, Grand Palladium and Princess Resorts, who have committed to constructing over 2,000 residential units for industry employees combined. This includes apartments and houses for the workers and their immediate relatives. The announcement came out of our meeting with representatives of Inveritel, an association representing Spanish hoteliers in Madrid, Spain. Madam Speaker, at the core of these initiatives lies a profound commitment to the well-being and prosperity of our people. It underscores our unwavering dedication to fostering inclusive growth and ensuring that every Jamaican reaps the rewards of our nation's burgeoning tourism sector, reassuring our commitment to our citizens' welfare. Recognizing Jamaica's achievements on the global stage. Madam Speaker, our exceptional performance on the international stage has garnered widespread recognition, earning us many accolades. At the 2023 World Travel Awards Caribbean and the Americas Gala held in St. Lucia on August 26, Jamaica and its tourism partners received over 30 prestigious awards. Among these, Jamaica secured the title of Caribbean's leading destination for the 17th consecutive year. At the same time, the Jamaica Tourist Board, JTB, received the Caribbean's leading tourist board award for the 15th straight year. Jamaica was also hailed as the Caribbean's leading cruise destination in 2023, with the Port of Falmouth and the Port of Montego Bay securing top spots in their respective categories. In the Condé Nast Traveler Reader's Choice Awards, Montego Bay's S Hotel Jamaica was crowned the number one hotel in the Caribbean and Central America, alongside the Jamaica Inn in Ocho Rios, which ranked number 6 in the same category. In addition, the S Hotel ranked 16th globally on the magazine's 2023 Best Hotels in the World listing. These accolades, reflecting readers' preferences, underscore the excellence of these establishments within the travel industry. Both hotels had previously received prestigious awards at the World Travel Awards Caribbean and the Americas Gala 2023. Further solidifying Jamaica's standing in the global tourism arena, the nation was elected as the second vice chair of the United Nations World Tourism Organization, UNWTO, now UN Tourism's Executive Council during its General Assembly in Samarkand, Uzbekistan, in October. Madam Speaker, Jamaica initially earned its seat on the Executive Council for 2023-2027, alongside Colombia, following the decision made during the 68th Union Tourism Commission for the Americas meeting, CAM, in Quito, Ecuador, in June. This council is responsible for managing and implementing strategic decisions within UN tourism. In March, I was named Global Tourism Icon by the Pacific Area Travel Writers Association, PUTWA, during the renowned Global Travel Trade Show, ITB Berlin. Jamaica was also deservedly named Global Destination of the Year by PUTWA at the prestigious event. Lastly, Madam Speaker, I was honored to receive the first Caribbean Hotel and Tourism Association's, CHTA, President's Award for Caribbean Tourism Excellence during the second annual Caribbean Travel Forum and Awards Luncheon in Barbados in May. Enhancing linkages between tourism and key economic sectors. Madam Speaker, Prime Minister Holness has charged this government with investing more in the supply side of the industry, thereby strengthening linkages between tourism and other critical sectors of the economy. We have accepted this challenge through our Tourism Linkages Network, TLN, a critical department within the Tourism Enhancement Fund, TEF. A key goal has been to reduce imports and to enhance the capacity of our local entrepreneurs to supply the needs of the industry. Alex. A pivotal initiative we've championed to foster stronger ties between the agriculture and tourism sectors is the AgriLinkages Exchange Platform, affectionately known as ALEX. This platform has facilitated greater connectivity and yielded remarkable results, with small-scale farmers generating approximately $1 billion in sales. These farmers, ranging from those with 3-acre and 5-acre lots to backyard growers, supply fresh produce to local hotels and restaurants. ALEX, a collaborative initiative between the TEF and the Rural Agricultural Development Authority, RADA, stands as a testament to our commitment to uplift both farmers and tourism stakeholders. Other agritourism initiatives. Madam Speaker, our commitment to holistic development extends beyond traditional tourism sectors. Last year, through the TEF, the Ministry of Tourism undertook a significant initiative to empower farmers in South Trelawney, specifically in Ulster Spring. With a total budget of $10 million, we provided 50 new 650-gallon water tanks to these farmers to bolster agricultural sustainability and promote agritourism. This initiative not only supports farmers in South Trelawney but also extends to other parishes, including St. Elizabeth, St. James, and St. Anne. Furthermore, plans are underway to extend this assistance to farmers in St. Thomas, Portland, and Westmoreland. These water tanks have significantly improved the farmers' ability to irrigate their crops, ensuring a steady supply of fresh produce and enhancing the quality of their agricultural products. Investing in agricultural infrastructure and empowering local farmers will improve food security and enrich the tourism experience by showcasing Jamaica's rich agrarian heritage, helping our SMTEs and fostering innovation. Madam Speaker, the vitality of small and medium-sized tourism enterprises, SMTEs, cannot be overstated. These enterprises are the backbone of our tourism industry, contributing significantly to economic growth and job creation. To support and promote these enterprises, the Ministry of Tourism, in collaboration with various stakeholders, organized the annual Christmas and July trade show at the AC Hotel, Kingston, from July 12 to 13. This event served as a platform for 180 exhibitors to showcase locally made products ranging from woodcraft, specialty foods, aromatherapy products, home decor, fashion, and fine art to jewelry. The impressive turnout of some 1,800 attendees, including tourism stakeholders, corporate representatives, and members of the diplomatic corps, underscores the importance of initiatives like these in fostering economic resilience and diversity. The success of the event, which generated nearly $136 million in sales between 2015 and 2022, highlights the potential of SMTEs and their significant contribution to our economy. This event, organized by the TLN in collaboration with key partners such as the Jamaica Business Development Corporation, JBDC, Jamaica Hotel and Tourist Association, JHTA, Jamaica Promotions Corporation, JAMPRO, and Jamaica Manufacturers and Exporters Association, JMEA, exemplifies our unwavering commitment to nurturing innovation and entrepreneurship within the tourism sector. We aim to create a thriving ecosystem through such initiatives where SMTEs can flourish and contribute to Jamaica's sustainable development journey. Loans for SMTEs. Moreover, Madam Speaker, our efforts extend to providing vital financial support to the tourism sector through loan disbursements facilitated by the National Export-Import, EXIM, Bank. In 2023 alone, these disbursements exceeded $1 billion, underscoring our dedication to bolstering SMTEs within tourism. The SMTE Loan Facility, managed by the Tourism Enhancement Fund and administered through the EXIM Bank, has emerged as a lifeline for these businesses. By offering access to financing of up to $25 million at an attractive interest rate of 4.5% over 5 years, this initiative empowers SMTE operators to strengthen their resilience and expand their capacity to thrive in the tourism sector. Tourism Innovation Incubator. Madam Speaker, the Tourism Innovation Incubator is a groundbreaking program at the forefront of our Blue Ocean Strategy. It serves as a catalyst for innovation and entrepreneurship within the tourism sector. Launched in September 2022, the Tourism Innovation Incubator has become a beacon of creativity and ingenuity. Its mission? To crowdsource innovative tourism business ideas and nurture aspiring entrepreneurs toward the commercialization of their visions. Madam Speaker, since its inception, the incubator has seen remarkable progress. The first cohort of participants commenced their journey with the Tourism Innovation Bootcamp in November 2022, and by December 2023, they had completed the rigorous innovation challenge. Throughout this transformative experience, participants engaged in various activities, from refining and validating their business ideas to conducting market research and digital prototyping. They also had the invaluable opportunity to network, undergo Team Jamaica training and certification, and ultimately showcase their ventures at a pitch and demo event. Strategic partnerships with the Technology Innovation Center at the University of Technology, Jamaica, and the Founder Institute, Jamaica chapter, have bolstered the program's success. With access to experienced coaches and mentors, participants have been equipped with the tools and guidance needed to thrive. I am pleased to announce that two participants have even become beneficiaries of the Development Bank of Jamaica's DBJ Ignite program, receiving $3 million each at the ideation stage, an extraordinary testament to the program's impact. On December 5, 2023, the inaugural Tourism Innovation Incubator pitch and demo event took place, showcasing the ingenuity and potential of our entrepreneurs. Three of the 13 business ideas accepted into the program are poised for commercialization within the next 12 months, an exciting prospect that speaks volumes about the program's effectiveness. But our commitment doesn't end there, Madam Speaker. In addition to providing a platform for idea generation, we have earmarked $100 million for grant funding, redirected from the SMTE loan facility at the EXIM Bank, which will be made available to participants who complete the program and meet the necessary criteria. The relevant teams from the TEF and Development Bank of Jamaica, DBJ, have put together a proposal which would see the pooling of funds to execute this aspect of the Tourism Innovation Incubator Initiative, supporting our whole-of-government approach. Madam Speaker, a submission with these recommendations has been drafted by my team and will be placed before Cabinet in a matter of days. Madam Speaker, the Tourism Innovation Incubator is not just a program, it's a catalyst for change, driving our vision for a vibrant and resilient tourism industry forward. Through innovation and collaboration, we will continue to unlock new opportunities, empower entrepreneurs, and chart a course towards a brighter future for Jamaica's tourism sector. Tourism Logistics Center. Madam Speaker, we are now moving at a fast clip as we seek to position Jamaica as a planning supply hub for the local tourism sector and other tourism-dependent nations in the region. The idea of the Tourism Logistics Supply Center for Jamaica and the other Caribbean islands came out of the Tourism Recovery Task Force chaired by Wilfred Bagaloo in 2020 and aims to give Jamaican entities the necessary muscles needed to grow locally, regionally, and internationally. As supply chain issues continue to present a challenge for many countries, we firmly believe that this center will help to eliminate some of the supply chain uncertainties. The establishment of the Supply Logistics Center in a special economic zone format will allow local suppliers to scale up and to be able to respond effectively. Madam Speaker, in the coming weeks and months, we will lead a series of engagements with the relevant arms of government and private sector players as we move to bring this initiative into full reality. Empowering our human capital. Jamaica Center for Tourism Innovation, JCTI. Madam Speaker, to fortify Jamaica's tourism prowess, we must prioritize equipping our workforce with globally recognized certification. This strategic initiative enhances our tourism professionals' local promotional capabilities and amplifies their value on the international stage. As we chart our course towards making 2024 the year of more, revitalizing our labor force within the tourism sector is a pivotal cornerstone. Central to this revitalization is implementing comprehensive training programs and providing stackable credentials for our workforce. This is precisely why we have committed substantial resources to the Jamaica Center for Tourism Innovation, JCTI, my ministry's educational arm. This institution's exceptional accomplishments underscore its indispensable role in nurturing a skilled and competent workforce poised to catapult Jamaica's tourism industry to unparalleled heights. Training results. Madam Speaker, from April 2023 to March 2024, a remarkable total of 3,379 candidates have successfully attained certification, representing an impressive 91% success rate. The JCTI, a department within the TEF, has forged strategic partnerships to expand training opportunities, including the Certified Guest Service Professional Program in collaboration with the American Hotel and Lodging Educational Institute, AHLEI. Additionally, participants in our flagship summer internship program, SIP, have been granted certification through a collaborative effort between the TEF and the Organization of American States, OAS. Successful candidates have received AHLEI and TVET certificates, enhancing their credentials and employability. Training high school students. In 2022, we embarked on training the third cohort of the Hospitality and Tourism Management, HTM, program, a collaborative initiative with the Ministry of Education and Youth, MOEY. This program seeks to equip young people with the necessary training and certification to access opportunities in tourism and secure entry-level positions. With 28 certified teachers and 309 enrolled students across 14 schools nationwide, the HTM program has seen notable success, boasting an impressive 83% student retention rate. Summer Internship Program, SIP. Madam Speaker, our summer internship program celebrated its 16th year in 2024, continuing its legacy of providing invaluable internship opportunities to young Jamaicans. In 2023, SIP received 14,000 applications from aspiring interns nationwide, with 167 employers offering placements. Approximately 1,100 interns completed their internships, with the bonus of attaining AHLEI Certified Guest Service Professional Certification and Dual Certification through Heart NSTA Trust. Culinary Training. Madam Speaker, the JCTI also collaborates with the American Culinary Federation to deliver culinary certification programs. 32 candidates, including certified culinary educators, certified working pastry chefs, certified culinarians, and certified pastry culinarians, achieved certification in the past year. Furthermore, JCTI worked closely with the American Culinary Federation Educational Foundation to enhance local culinary education institutions' capacity to deliver basic culinary certification programs. New training initiatives. Over the past year, the JCTI has spearheaded three new initiatives, demonstrating our steadfast commitment to nurturing and empowering human capital in the tourism sector. 1. Job Readiness Program. Madam Speaker, the Job Readiness Program, launched in high schools across the island, has seen remarkable success. A total of 912 students have participated, equipping them with accredited certification and training that prepares them for job opportunities in the tourism industry. Two job fairs were hosted to connect these candidates with potential employers in Western Jamaica, with plans to continue the program at the end of the 2023-24 academic year. 2. Expedited Sous Chef Development Program. Madam Speaker, in collaboration with local hotel partners and the American Culinary Federation, ACF, JCTI has structured an expedited sous chef certification program. 6 local chefs will mentor 25 candidates each over 6 months, ensuring they acquire specific skills and garner the support of leading executive chefs in the country. Following this phase, candidates will undergo further training overseas to enhance their expertise. 3. Lifeguard Certification Program. Madam Speaker, recognizing the importance of certified lifeguards in safeguarding our beaches, JCTI has piloted a lifeguard certification program in schools in Negril. 20 candidates, comprising 18 males and 2 females, are enrolled, with certification expected by the end of this month, April 2024. Partnering with organizations like the Negril Wave Runners Swim Club and the Royal Lifeguard Society, this program offers comprehensive water safety, CPR, first aid, rescue techniques, and ethics training. Additionally, NEPA will facilitate the licensing process, preparing candidates for employment opportunities. Madam Speaker, the program will be expanded to St. James and St. Anne in the 2024/2025 fiscal year, ensuring broader access to lifeguard training and further enhancing safety measures across Jamaica's coastal areas. These initiatives reflect our dedication to developing a skilled workforce and fostering sustainable growth in Jamaica's vibrant tourism industry. Housing and Pension for Tourism Workers. Madam Speaker, recognizing the importance of social development for our workforce, we prioritize initiatives to enhance their well-being. This includes serious initiatives to improve housing and community conditions and the continued rollout of the Tourism Workers Pension Scheme, TWPS. Housing. Madam Speaker, I am pleased to announce a significant step forward in addressing the housing needs of our invaluable tourism workforce. Through the Tourism Enhancement Fund's partnership with the new social housing program, we will allocate $500 million to improve housing conditions for tourism workers living in substandard conditions. Madam Speaker, the Housing Agency of Jamaica, HAJ, has also embarked on an ambitious journey to rejuvenate brownfield sites in collaboration with critical stakeholders like the TEF. During the 2023-24 fiscal year, the HAJ diligently advanced the Grange Penn Brownfield Development Project, focusing on vital infrastructural upgrades, including water supply, sewage systems, and overall household infrastructure enhancements. The issuance of 314 certificates of title represents a significant milestone, granting residents the long-awaited land tenure security. These initiatives underscore the unwavering commitment of the Tourism Enhancement Fund and the Housing Agency of Jamaica to elevate the living standards of our tourism workforce, thereby ensuring their well-being and fostering the sustainable growth of our tourism industry. Progress of the Tourism Workers' Pension Scheme, TWPS. Madam Speaker, we take immense pride in the safety net we are weaving for our invaluable tourism workers, who form the backbone of our industry. This sentiment underscores the significance of the groundbreaking Tourism Workers' Pension Scheme, TWPS, launched in January 2022. We became the only country in the world with a comprehensive pension plan for tourism workers. This pioneering scheme continues to serve as a vital support system for our hardworking industry personnel, ensuring they can retire with dignity and security in their later years. I am therefore pleased, Madam Speaker, to advise this Honorable House that as of April 19, 2024, a total 9,497 tourism workers have registered for the scheme, including a total of 7,027 contributing members. This has resulted in total contributions of $1.63 billion Jamaican dollars as of April 19, 2024. Monthly contributions to the scheme are now averaging over 80 million Jamaican dollars, and, given this average, the scheme is well on its way to recording total contributions of over 2 billion Jamaican dollars by summer of this year. Madam Speaker, this is a commendable accomplishment in 2 years, especially when viewed against the backdrop that in 2022 several tourism operators were still recovering from the adverse impact of the pandemic. This means that we would have doubled the 1 billion Jamaican dollars the government provided in the endowment fund. At the same time, Madam Speaker, the endowment fund that was seeded with 1 billion Jamaican dollars by the government now stands at 1.25 billion Jamaican dollars as of March 31, 2024. Therefore, when added to the total contribution to date, total funds under management stand at 2.88 billion Jamaican dollars. Madam Speaker, based on the run rate, total funds under management will reach 3 billion Jamaican dollars by June of this year. I am also quite pleased, Madam Speaker, to indicate that the Board of Trustees, which governs the scheme, is now fully and properly constituted in keeping with the Act, as we recently appointed 5-member nominated trustees to the board. These member-nominated trustees are drawn from the sector and represent the broader membership at the Board of Trustees meeting. Madam Speaker, it is also noteworthy to mention that the audited financial statements of the scheme up to 2022 have been completed and the auditors are currently working on the audited financial statements for 2023. Moving forward, Madam Speaker, the chairman of the scheme expects a significant increase in membership, given a number of strategies that will be pursued over the next 12 months. This includes a more targeted advertising campaign to create awareness about the scheme and to sensitize the target audience on the importance of a pension, a greater engagement of tourism operators through visits, sensitization sessions, and meetings, greater targeting of self-employed individuals as well as small and medium tourism enterprises, SMTEs, within the sector, and forging partnerships with entities such as the Jamaica Hotel and Tourist Association, JHTA. Additionally, Madam Speaker, efforts are underway to diversify the investment management approach to provide greater reach and foster greater financial inclusion across the financial sector, as we target a larger base of tourism workers in the near future. Investing in tourism infrastructure, initiatives and progress update. Madam Speaker, we have been actively working on a comprehensive build-out to enhance the capacity to absorb tourism in its broadest sense. This involves strengthening road networks, exploring the possibility of an additional airport, establishing more cruise ports, and developing more beaches for all Jamaicans to enjoy. Beaches and rivers. Madam Speaker, Jamaica's captivating beaches are a national treasure, and we must preserve access to these natural wonders while providing top-notch amenities for all Jamaicans, ensuring both leisure and economic opportunities flourish. I am pleased to announce the completion and presentation of the Beach Access and Management Policy. This policy is a blueprint for sustainably conserving and managing Jamaica's beaches, guaranteeing access for locals and tourists for future generations. Through collaborative efforts with the Tourism Enhancement Fund and our valued partners, we are embarking on a series of enhancements to beaches across the island for public enjoyment. Madam Speaker, it is crucial to acknowledge beaches as both social and economic assets to foster sustainable development and promote community well-being. This approach brings about long-term benefits for both society and the economy. Beaches serve as important gathering places for people to connect, relax, and engage in recreational activities, which promotes physical and mental health. In addition, beaches contribute significantly to tourism, providing job opportunities, and driving local economies. We recognize the value of beaches as critical resources that must be preserved and managed responsibly. Through our National Beach Development Program, we are committed to ensuring their long-term viability by balancing access for everyone, including both locals and visitors, while leveraging beaches as investments to benefit surrounding communities and their residents. At the same time, Madam Speaker, we must safeguard natural habitats and ecosystems as we work towards these objectives. The current Fantasy Beach Park in Priory, St. Anne, will transform into a Parish Beach Park, reflecting the success of the beloved Harmony Beach Park in Montego Bay. Furthermore, upgrade works on 9 community beaches will commence this year. Plans are in motion for the development of the Boston Beach Park in Portland and a prominent beach park in Negril. Through the Tourism Product Development Company, TPDCO, we will continue the second phase of the public beach upgrade program at Cardiff Hall. From renovating eating areas and restroom facilities to crafting recreational spaces and expanding parking provisions, this initiative aims to elevate the beach experience while prioritizing sustainability and environmental stewardship. Additionally, TPDCO will lead the planning and design process for the River Access Project, which will establish access points to 4 pristine rivers across Jamaica. This initiative enhances tourism experiences and ensures the sustainable utilization of Jamaica's natural resources. These initiatives underscore our unwavering commitment to preserving Jamaica's beaches and rivers, ensuring they remain pristine and accessible. By fostering recreational opportunities and driving economic prosperity, we aim to uplift our citizens and showcase Jamaica's natural beauty to the world. Infrastructure Enhancement, Bath Access Road. Rehabilitation. Madam Speaker, I am delighted to highlight the successful completion of Phase 1 of the $45.5 million Bath Access Road Rehabilitation Project, which resulted in the opening of the new and improved roadway to the historic Bath Fountain Hotel in St. Thomas. This project, financed by the TEF and executed by the National Works Agency, NWA, represents a significant milestone in our efforts to enhance infrastructure and promote sustainable development. The repaired roadway improves connectivity and fosters economic growth, job creation, and sustainable development in the region. The project is expected to increase traffic to the health and wellness attraction by reducing travel time and enhancing access to essential services, benefiting local communities and visitors alike. Moreover, it opens avenues for commerce, creating opportunities for businesses to thrive and contributes to the area's overall prosperity. Artisan Village at Falmouth. Madam Speaker, I am pleased to update you on the highly anticipated Artisan Village in Falmouth. I am happy to announce that the village officially opened its doors on April 19, 2024, marking a significant milestone in our efforts to showcase Jamaica's rich cultural heritage and artisanal talents on an international platform. The development of the Artisan Village at the Old Hampton Wharf, adjacent to the cruise terminal, is a collaborative effort for which we are immensely grateful. the Port Authority's generous donation of the land and the Tourism Enhancement Fund's spearheading of the facility's outfitting are invaluable contributions to this initiative. This project holds significant heritage and historical value, presenting an opportunity to transform Falmouth into a vibrant tourism, cultural, and lifestyle center, and we couldn't have done it without their support. Establishing Jamaica's inaugural artisan village is a milestone in our tourism development and a testament to our rich cultural heritage. This village is a living testament to our commitment to revitalizing local craftsmanship and providing tourists with an authentic Jamaican experience. By showcasing the diverse talents of our artisans, the village is poised to attract visitors from around the world, offering them a unique and immersive glimpse into our cultural identity and traditions. Strengthening resilience through global thought leadership. Madam Speaker, our growth agenda is strengthened by a robust resilience agenda. The COVID-19 pandemic has taught us that we must be proactive in anticipating, preparing for, and responding to emerging risks. We must also build resilience against them. To achieve this, Jamaica pioneered the Global Tourism Resilience and Crisis Management Center, GTRCMC, in 2018. This center assists tourist destinations worldwide in preparing for, managing, and recovering from crises that threaten economies and livelihoods linked to the tourism sector. Currently, the entity, which has been rebranded as the Global Tourism Resilience Center, GTRC, has offices in the Caribbean, Africa, and the Mediterranean, and affiliates in over 42 countries. Since its inception, Madam Speaker, the centers has supported tourism destinations globally in building resilience and responding to disruptions. Its headquarters in Jamaica and main satellite centers in Kenya have become hubs for developing, coordinating, and supporting resilience building and response efforts worldwide. The centers have funded over 30 resilience-related initiatives and projects in the Caribbean and East Africa. In June last year, we met with Dr. Cesar Montano Galarza, rector of the Universidad Andina Simón Bolívar in Ecuador. During the meeting, we agreed to establish the first-ever GTRC in South America. Additionally, in the same month, the GTRC signed a letter of intent with George Washington University to establish a satellite center at the university. This would make George Washington the first U.S. academic affiliate of the GTRC. With our network of satellite centers worldwide, the inclusion of George Washington University will greatly enhance our research and implementation capabilities. In February 2024, Jamaica hosted the second Global Tourism Resilience Conference at the Montego Bay Convention Center under the theme Navigating the Future of Tourism Resilience. This event coincided with the first anniversary of the United Nations Declaration of February 17 as Global Tourism Resilience Day. This milestone was achieved through Jamaica's successful lobbying efforts led by our Prime Minister and me as Portfolio Minister. The conference, Madam Speaker, a collaborative effort between the Ministry of Tourism, UN Tourism, and the GTRC, attracted a global audience for 2 days of insightful discussions, engaging panels, and distinguished speakers led by UN Tourism Secretary General H.E. Zurab Palalakashvili. It concluded with the first-ever Global Tourism Resilience Awards Gala. Multi-Hazard Contingency Planning Program. Closer to home, Madam Speaker, the Ministry will embark on several initiatives to help bolster the tourism sector against climate change and its associated impacts. These include providing training in climate change appraisal of projects and programs from the CARICOM Canadian Expert Deployment Mechanism, CEDEM. Creating coastal hazard and flood risk maps. Establishing early warning systems for specific hazards. Exploring the feasibility of setting up a risk pooling facility for SMTEs. Implementing ecosystem-based adaptation, EBA, and ecosystem-based disaster risk reduction, ECODRR, strategies. Madam Speaker, tourist destinations like Jamaica thrive on a reputation for safety and security. This multi-hazard contingency planning program is crucial for building that trust. By considering a wide range of threats, from natural disasters to man-made emergencies, this plan allows destinations to prepare for disruptions proactively. This minimizes visitor anxiety, ensures a swift and coordinated response during crises, and fosters a faster recovery, ultimately protecting the tourism industry's economic well-being. Framework for strengthening resilience. Madam Speaker, amidst the thriving industry, the government and its tourism partners are redoubling efforts to cultivate a more resilient and inclusive framework. This framework seeks to nurture prosperity, preserve our natural environment, and empower our people and communities who rely on tourism for their livelihoods. In 2023, my ministry conducted public consultations and workshops across all 6 resort areas to engage stakeholders at every level of the tourism industry. These engagements focused on shaping policies and programs to establish the foundation for the sustainable growth and development of our vital tourism sector, including the Tourism Strategy and Action Plan, TSAP, is a pivotal policy framework that will guide Jamaica's tourism sector development up to 2030. The Destination Assurance Framework and Strategy, DAFS, is designed to ensure continuous enhancement in the delivery and management of quality across the tourism value chain. Revision of the National Community Tourism Policy and Strategy, NCTPS, aimed at fostering community involvement in tourism and facilitating interagency coordination to support communities and local enterprises in offering competitive tourism products. Madam Speaker, Jamaica is steadfastly charting a course towards a resilient, inclusive, and sustainable tourism landscape through these strategic initiatives, driving positive change for our nation and beyond. Update on key public body initiatives. Jamaica Tourist Board, JTB. Madam Speaker, the JTB has been diligently working to elevate our destination on the global stage, contributing significantly to the record-breaking arrivals we have witnessed. Our priority remains the seamless continuation of the comeback marketing campaign, ensuring Jamaica remains top of mind for travelers seeking warm-weather destinations. Additionally, we have hosted numerous events highlighting Jamaica's diverse and authentic cultural experiences, which catalyze our visitors' self-actualization. Investments in content, long-form video, and digital and social media tactics, predominantly driven by paid ads and search, continue to play a pivotal role in engaging our audience online and driving conversions. Madam Speaker, regarding digital media, we are focused on developing aspirational, seasonal, and marketing messaging content to target key travel personas and drive tourist arrivals. Influencer campaigns amplify positive stories and provide high-profile exposure to on-island experiences, instilling confidence in potential visitors. Despite a pause in our digital advertisements, all our new media channels have experienced increased followers, with our At Visit Jamaica social media community now totaling 1.27 million followers across significant channels. Content creation for messaging pillars and identifying partnership opportunities remain high priorities. Moreover, Madam Speaker, we have implemented an AI chatbot and advanced marketing automation utilities to enhance consumer engagement efficiencies. These technological advancements seamlessly merge into our integrated media strategy, ensuring consistent and compelling communication flow while bolstering the campaign's ability to captivate and connect with audiences globally. Madam Speaker, in 2019, global searches for Jamaica totaled 841 million. In 2023, despite a decrease to 583 million searches, equivalent to 69% of the 2019 total, we saw a 7.7% increase in arrivals and a 17% increase in earnings. This demonstrates the effectiveness of the JTB marketing strategy in delivering higher penetration and conversion rates from search to booking. With our focus on product expansion through new investments and market diversification, we are poised for growth, aiming to achieve 5 million visitors and $5 billion in earnings by 2025. Tourism Product Development Company, TPD Co. Madam Speaker, I am proud to announce the successful execution of TEDCO's second licensing expo. This platform provided operators in the tourism sector with a streamlined opportunity to engage with TEDCO's licensing team and regulatory bodies crucial to the licensing process. In the fiscal year 2023/2024, a total of 6,479 licenses were processed across various categories, ranging from attractions to homestays. Looking ahead, TPD Co. in collaboration with the World Bank through JAMPRO, is actively engaged in developing an advanced online platform tailored for processing JTB licenses. This innovative initiative promises heightened convenience and efficacy, revolutionizing the licensing experience for operators across the spectrum. Madam Speaker, TEDCO's tourism training program offers specialized training opportunities to industry professionals. In the fiscal year 2023/2024, approximately 6,351 participants benefited from dynamic and impactful training engagements, including the acclaimed Team Jamaica program and skill enhancement initiatives. Turning to projects, Madam Speaker, TPDCO has completed several key initiatives. Phase 3 of the Trench Town Entertainment Space project saw the construction of a state-of-the-art entertainment facility, including a performance stage and recording studio. Additionally, Seville Heritage Park underwent comprehensive renovations, safeguarding its historical integrity for future generations. TPDCO has also spearheaded renovations and construction projects across various parishes, enhancing community spaces and infrastructure. Notable projects include park renovations in Kingston, St. Andrew, and St. Catherine and road repairs and construction initiatives in St. Thomas, St. Elizabeth, and St. Mary. In the realm of visitor safety and experience, Madam Speaker, TPDCO signed a Memorandum of Understanding with the Jamaica Constabulary Force for the Special District Constables Program. This collaborative effort aims to prevent solicitation and harassment of visitors in resort areas, ensuring a safe and enjoyable experience for all. Looking ahead, TPDCO remains committed to environmental sustainability efforts, including establishing a destination stewardship standard and toolkit. These initiatives seek to combat inefficient waste management practices and promote environmental consciousness among tourism players, fostering a greener and more sustainable tourism industry. Tourism Enhancement Fund, TEF. TA Ecosystem Study. Madam Speaker, permit me to provide an update on the Tourism Entertainment Academy, TEA, Ecosystem Study. A critical endeavor was undertaken by the TEF to assess and enhance the entertainment ecosystem within the tourism sector. We completed the TEA Ecosystem Study at the end of 2023 and engaged various stakeholders, including artists, entertainment practitioners, hotels, attractions, locals, visitors, training institutions, and the public sector. This comprehensive analysis yielded invaluable insights and highlighted critical areas for improvement. The findings of the study underscored several crucial points. 1. Demand for entertainment in reggae music festivals, comedy, food tours, gospel music events, and jazz music festivals remains high. Focusing on talent and other aspects, such as production, sound engineering, festival management, and event technology, is imperative. 2. Training programs should include professional entertainment skills, business and entertainment management, networking, ethics, and financial planning. 3. The TEA must remain agile to adapt to shifting demands and changing psychographic profiles. 4. Embracing technology is essential to advance training delivery, auditions, performances, and infrastructure design. 5. Adequate performance and rehearsal spaces must be provided to nurture talent effectively. 6. Partnerships with international, accredited institutions will enhance offerings and create more significant opportunities for Jamaicans locally and internationally. Building upon the insights gained from the TEA Ecosystem Study, the TEF is currently developing the TEA business plan, slated for completion within this calendar year. Leveraging the proven model of the JCTI, the TEA will strategically focus on certification, skills enhancement, infrastructure utilization, and technology integration. Like the JCTI model, Madam Speaker, the TEA will partner with external certification bodies such as the American Hotel and Lodging Educational Institute, AHLEI, and the American Culinary Federation, ACF, to ensure internationally recognized qualifications for Jamaican entertainment practitioners. Furthermore, the TEA will target intermediate-level entertainment practitioners to elevate their skills to a professional standard, utilizing existing assets and infrastructure for program execution. Technology will play a pivotal role in streamlining operations and enhancing efficiency. Madam Speaker, the TEA represents a pivotal step towards nurturing and professionalizing Jamaica's entertainment industry, aligning with our broader objectives of fostering innovation, sustainability, and excellence within the tourism sector. Devon House. Madam Speaker, in this financial year, Devon House, a cherished attraction, will undertake various initiatives to bolster its revenue streams and ensure its long-term viability. Revamped tours. As part of these efforts, the public body will thoroughly overhaul its current tour offerings, integrating cutting-edge virtual reality technology to deliver visitors an immersive and captivating experience. Renovation of the historic mansion. Furthermore, plans are in motion to refurbish the historic mansion, meticulously preserving its architectural legacy while updating its amenities to align with contemporary standards. Construction of a gastronomic kitchen. Madam Speaker, we also anticipate commencing the construction of an interactive gastronomic kitchen during this financial year. This innovative culinary space will allow visitors to explore Jamaica's vibrant culinary heritage hands-on, enriching their overall experience at Devon House. Madam Speaker, this forms part of our ongoing efforts to ensure that as Jamaica's first gastronomy center, Devon House takes the lead in presenting an immersive experience in the preparation of authentic Jamaica cuisine. Montego Bay Convention Center, MBCC. Madam Speaker, despite facing challenges, the Montego Bay Convention Center, MBCC, has made significant strides in various aspects, including financial performance, governance, infrastructural enhancements, and facility upgrades. Investments in infrastructure have been a cornerstone of our endeavors, aimed at improving operational efficiency and delivering enhanced experiences for our patrons. One notable investment is the purchase and installation of a new cooling tower. This critical upgrade enhances our operational capabilities and contributes to cost savings in the long run. The total cost of this project amounted to $14,714,829.60, with $4,714,829.60 subsidized by the TEF. Furthermore, I am pleased to report that despite the challenges encountered, the MBCC has achieved commendable financial progress. We closed the fiscal year with an operating profit of $73 million, marking a substantial improvement from previous years. This achievement underscores the effectiveness of our strategic initiatives and robust financial management practices. Looking ahead, the MBCC is poised for even greater success with establishing the Montego Bay Convention Center Gastronomy Institute. This pioneering initiative, which we are all excited about, aims to create a dedicated training center for executive chefs and sous chefs, further enhancing our offerings and solidifying our position as a leader in the hospitality industry. To expedite the Institute's establishment, a dedicated committee has been formed, working tirelessly to ensure its realization in the shortest possible time frame. Madam Speaker, the Montego Bay Convention Center's accomplishments in the past fiscal year are a testament to our unwavering commitment to excellence and innovation. As we continue our journey of progress and growth, I am confident that the MBCC will remain at the forefront of Jamaica's hospitality landscape, driving economic prosperity and elevating our nation's global standing. Milk River Hotel and Spa, MRHS, and Bath Fountain Hotel, BFH. Madam Speaker, the Ministry of Tourism, through an enterprise team, has been mandated to undertake a public-private partnership, PPP, program for Milk River Hotel and Spa, MRHS, and Bath Fountain Hotel, BFH, in a bid to develop a niche health and wellness tourism product. In 2023, we embarked on the final stages of undertaking due diligence activities to support the privatization of these two remarkable natural assets. Madam Speaker, a flood assessment and mitigation study of the Milk River and its effects on the Milk River Hotel and Spa was undertaken. The study, which is a critical component of the due diligence activities, will seek to analyze and ascertain the primary cause/s of the flooding affecting the MRHS and develop possible mitigation measures to counter the risk. The study commenced in April 2023 and is expected to be completed in April 2024. Property condition assessments of MRHS and BFH were also undertaken. 2 out of 5 property condition assessments were completed. Land Surveying Services, BFH, completed June 2023. Land Surveying Services, MRHS, completed September 2023. Civil/Structural Engineering, BFH, completed September 2023. Civil/Structural Engineering, MRHS, completed September 2023. The Mechanical Engineer and Plumbing Assessment Undertaking commenced in January 2024 and is expected to be completed this April. The recommendations from these studies, Madam Speaker, will be integral in the development of divestment modalities that will be presented in a full market sounding, which is expected to be staged in fiscal year 2024-25. In addition, Madam Speaker, we are finalizing the Bath of the Apostle Act Amendment and the Milk River Act Amendment. The amendment of these two pieces of legislation and their attendant regulations will modernize them and remove the legislative hurdles to entering public-private partnerships to develop these facilities to world-class standards. The Ministry has received the draft bills from the Chief Parliamentary Council, Madam Speaker, which have been circulated to stakeholders for their comments. We intend to complete the amendment to these pieces of legislation during this legislative year. Charting the course forward, tourism projections and strategies for 2024-25. Madam Speaker, for the current fiscal year 2024-25, we anticipate a robust performance in Jamaica's tourism sector, with estimated gross earnings projected at $4.79 billion US dollars. This optimistic outlook corresponds with a total arrival forecast of 4.58 million visitors, comprising 3.23 million stopover arrivals and 1.4 million cruise arrivals. Notably, we anticipate a 7% increase in total arrivals compared to the previous fiscal year. A noteworthy trend in the monthly arrival patterns is the consistent year-over-year visitor growth during September, October, and November. This trend is a testament to the strategic efforts of the Jamaica Tourist Board and the Tourism Linkages Network over the past 5 years. Through collaborative initiatives, we have focused on developing products and activities specifically tailored to enhance demand for Jamaica during these traditional shoulder months. The tangible results we are now witnessing underscore the effectiveness of these concerted efforts. Tourism Labor Market Study. Madam Speaker, one of the primary concerns of the Ministry was the impact that the COVID-19 pandemic had on the labor market. In October 2019, employment in tourism and related industries was 157,900, which was 12.6% of Jamaica's employed labor force. In April 2020, it was estimated that 90% of tourism workers' employment was impacted through the reduction of their employment terms as a result of COVID-19. By October 2020, only 122,900 were employed, a 22% reduction. The change, Madam Speaker, was most significant in the accommodation subsector, which recorded a reduction from approximately 51,000 workers in 2019 to 41,000 in 2022, resulting in a shortage of 10,000 workers. It was this catalyst that pushed the Ministry to conduct a labor market study to get a full understanding of the steps forward, post-COVID-19, and what we can do as a Ministry to help stakeholders prepare for it. Madam Speaker, the labor market study has estimated an increase of 15,000 new workers in the accommodation subsector over the next 3 to 5 years based on the predicted growth of the industry. This is in addition to the existing shortage referenced above to restore the accommodation subsector to pre-COVID employment levels. These estimated jobs are in categories ranging across the board, including higher-level jobs such as marketing and industrial relations, as well as core operations such as chefs, wait staff, and front desk attendants. Based on the findings of the study, Madam Speaker, the sector has highlighted that the most important emphasis for the Ministry must be on skills training, job readiness, critical thinking, and customer service. To streamline this process, two things are necessary: the expansion of training programs and an increased connection between tourism-based private sector entities and training institutions. The study also revealed that tourism workers' main area of focus is on social benefits. These social benefits include pension, health insurance, career enhancement, and leave allowances. That is why we are pleased that the Ministry of Tourism has already started our groundbreaking work on affording pensions to the sector's workers. The ministry will, therefore, increase its efforts to promote the tourism workers' pension scheme among workers and increase the number of pensioners contributing to it. Additionally, the ministry will continue to engage players in the sector to ensure that the effort to provide increased social benefit continues. Multidimensional Impact Assessment Study. Madam Speaker, the forthcoming addition of some 20,000 new rooms over the next decade marks a significant milestone in Jamaica's tourism landscape. However, such an expansion carries profound implications for our nation and its resources. In response, we are embarking on a comprehensive multidimensional impact assessment study. This study will meticulously analyze these proposed developments' economic, fiscal, social, and environmental repercussions. It will delve into their effects on vital metrics such as gross domestic product, GDP, foreign exchange earnings, employment rates, and critical sectors like agriculture, construction, manufacturing, and entertainment. Furthermore, the study will identify potential challenges and propose actionable recommendations to mitigate adverse impacts while maximizing the positive outcomes. Every aspect will be thoroughly scrutinized, from enhancing sustainability measures to optimizing resource allocation. This study is in the procurement phase and is slated for completion within this calendar year. Its findings will serve as a crucial guidepost, ensuring Jamaica's tourism growth remains sustainable, inclusive, and beneficial for all stakeholders. These projections and initiatives reflect our unwavering confidence in the resilience and vibrancy of our tourism industry. As we continue on this upward trajectory, we anticipate increased earnings and a more significant number of Jamaicans benefiting directly from the prosperity generated by this flourishing sector. Through strategic planning, collaboration, and a steadfast commitment to excellence, we pave the way for a brighter future for Jamaica's tourism landscape. Madam Speaker, tourism generates demand for $365 billion worth of goods, which does not include services but only tangible products. Last year, we welcomed just over 4 million tourists to our country, and they spent over $4 billion during their stay. Some of this money remains in our economy due to the efforts of people like you, but most of it goes towards purchasing goods that are not locally available. If the tourism industry were to utilize even more Jamaican products in their operations, Madam Speaker, it would lead to a significant boost in the local economy. The success of the tourism industry in terms of wealth creation hinges on our ability to provide the goods that the industry requires. It's important to note that the wealth generated by tourism is temporary, and it leaves with the tourists when they depart. The current climate is ideal for growth in the supply side of the sector, and the government is doing its part to create a financial environment that encourages this type of activity. We have not borrowed money from Jamaican banks but have instead left the money for the average Jamaican entrepreneur to invest in their enterprises. Therefore, it's up to you, our hardworking business operators, to take advantage of the opportunity and run successful businesses. Madam Speaker, the opportunities for earning tourism are tremendous, and there are countless ways in which every Jamaican can be inserted in the lucrative tourism value chain. To achieve this, we should embrace traditional roles such as expanding local accommodations, culinary expansion, and training more local experts in cultural, historical, and ecotourism. Pioneer new ventures like health and wellness tourism, agritourism, digital tourism platforms, as well as entertainment and nightlife. Explore emerging opportunities such as sustainable tourism initiatives, cultural festivals, sports tourism, medical tourism, and educational tourism, which can be beneficial, and enhance the visitor experience through community-based tourism, technology integration, environmental sustainability, gastronomy, and shopping. By thinking outside the box, Madam Speaker, we can unlock a wider range of opportunities. This means going beyond traditional resorts and exploring new avenues like those I just mentioned. By spreading the benefits of tourism throughout Jamaica, we can create a brighter future for everyone, citizens, businesses, and visitors alike. Closing. Madam Speaker, as we look ahead to the 2024-25 financial year, it is clear that we stand on the cusp of a transformative era for Jamaican tourism. Our vision for the future demands nothing short of a revolutionary transformation in the annals of our tourism history. Let us continue to boldly declare 2024 as the year of more, a year when our collective focus will be on amplifying value, expanding opportunities for our workforce, and making substantial contributions to the Jamaican economy. It is a year when we will harness tourism's transformative power to uplift Jamaicans' lives, particularly the marginalized and vulnerable. Through concerted efforts from internal and external stakeholders, we must continue to reimagine the industry, break barriers, and position it to offer visitors an unparalleled experience while fostering sustainable growth and prosperity. This means embracing innovation, fostering inclusivity, and upholding an unwavering commitment to excellence in all that we do. As we anticipate a future adorned with more visitors and amplified revenue streams, let us always remember the essence of our theme, Tourism Gives Even More for 2024. This theme underscores the transformative power of Jamaica's tourism industry as a beacon of hope and a force for positive change in the lives of Jamaican people and local businesses alike. In 2024 and beyond, let us remain steadfast in our dedication to harnessing this power for the betterment of all. Together, let us forge ahead with determination, resilience, and a deep-seated commitment to building a tourism sector that leaves no one behind. Thank you, and God bless you.